dial one. Punch hold.
How are you?
The question is, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm not doing too well. I'm just groaning and whining around, and all you goddamn friends of mine touring Europe. You and Martin Luther King and Farman, all of you got all of the Eastern and Western Europe thoroughly hiked out now?
That's all right now. Just because I stopped in Luxembourg and sent you a wire, you don't need to jump all over me for that. I was in Europe because I promised my wife 3 years ago in a moment of weakness that I'd take her there on her 36th wedding anniversary.
Well,
and she didn't let me forget it, believe me.
She's entitled to the best, I think. And I believe she's got it. I want to talk to you very confidentially. Don't want anybody but you and me and God to know about it.
I understand.
And on my point, there won't be anybody. I've been waiting on you and you got settled, and I got awful irritated. I told my boys to locate you this morning. They called back, said you're in New York, and they didn't give me the message. They didn't want me. They wanted me to rest, son. I'm very upset about this urban affairs thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gathered it.
I'm going to speak very frankly to you, and I haven't spoken that way to anybody. There's no one in my confidence. I haven't talked to a human being on my staff or in the government or in any organization or anything. Now, there are two sides to this coin, the way I see them. One is, first of all, I like Weaver. He's a good man. He's a fair man. He likes me. We get along good together. We don't have any abrasiveness or any irritations or any problems. I can't find any faults there. He knows more about the housing job than anybody in the government. Now, so much for that. Kennedy publicly indicated as a political proposition, he thought it would help him get the bill passed. It killed the bill for him. But his purpose was a good one, and he thought it would pass it. And he indicated that if it did pass, he would name Weaver. That got all over America. And I don't know how many little Negro boys in Podunk, Mississippi, heard about it. But I would imagine a good many of them thought, well, now maybe here's the first Negro ever be in the cabinet, and if we get this bill passed, well, he'll be the first cabinet officer. Now, I'm very anxious in the limited time the good Lord's going to give me to just not talk, but to do. And to do by example, and to put the coonskins on the wall, and not just promise and talk and make big speeches. I don't believe in that. So I want to put the first Negro in this country on the Supreme Court, but I don't want the Senate to be able to stop me. I want to put the first Negro in the cabinet. If I don't put him in this place, I don't know where I'll ever get a place to put him. I don't see him as Secretary of Labor. I don't see him as Secretary of State. I don't see
Certainly
him
not.
As Secretary of Commerce.
Certainly not.
I just don't know where. Not because he'll do a hell of a lot in the cabinet office. I rather think that the white man can do a hell of a lot more for the Negroes than the Negroes can for themselves in these cities. I don't think he'll carry the handicap in these congressional committees that are packed and loaded. A Rockefeller, for instance, I don't think would carry the handicap that a Wilkins would. I think Rockefeller do more for you than you can do for yourself. Now, I may be wrong, but that's my thinking. Now, if I point a Negro, I think it's almost got to be Weaver. Weaver has the man I like in my cabinet among the Negroes, you. I have more confidence, more respect, more affection for you than any Negro in this country. And for no reason in the world, except that I believe it's merited and deserved, and the good Lord just gives me that hunch. But I believe this fellow's been trying, working hard, and doing his homework, and he's going to feel, just as you would feel, I feel, that the ball bounced in the wrong court. And I'm afraid he's going to feel, well, when they get down to the nut cutting and the stacks in, the chips, this Southerner just couldn't quite cut the mustard. He just couldn't name a Negro the cabinet.
Yeah.
Now, that makes me want to name him very much. Now, the reason I don't want to name him is this. The arguments against naming is a better way to put it. He hasn't handled the Congress well at all. We lost rent supplement, and he was off in New Jersey making a Chamber of Commerce speech. He didn't contact his people. He didn't get the Republicans. He didn't get the Democrats. He doesn't do his homework on the Hill. He's not an imaginative person. His program next year, so far as housing and urban affairs, so on and so forth, concerned, just had to be sent back. It's just plain vanilla. About a C minus. That is the general regard that they have among the other cabinet and among the echelon in the government. Yeah. Adam Clayton Powell is just vicious against him. He's urging me to name some damn fellow from Alabama that used to be in Congress.
Raines.
I have none of the Negro community moving on me one way or the other. I think they just trust me, and I sure want to be trustworthy. Yeah, I've got to name someone next week. Either name him as acting to go until Congress comes back. His outfit goes out of existence November the 7th.
His outfit does?
Yeah, home and housing and home finance become a part of the urban department.
That's
they're all off the payroll.
I see.
If I named, a Rockefeller as Secretary of Urban Affairs, I could name Weaver as undersecretary, but that demotes him. He takes $2,500 cut. And then that makes him lose the thing that he'd look forward to, I'm sure. He's never discussed it with me, never mentioned it, never asked a question, never put a bit of pressure. And of course, that makes me respect him.
Yeah.
And makes me lean over backwards my own obligation. I don't want you to give me a quick answer. I just want you to think and brood and turn over and over. When I name him, I'm going to start catching hell that I have not picked an imaginative man. I have not picked the greatest man in this country for the job, that I just picked him because of race. That's what's going to hit me.
That's right.
And it's going to hit me pretty heavy in the Congress where I'm getting pretty weak. If I don't do him, it's going to make every little boy feel like, well, I got some numbers up. We missed the boat, and we have to wait for another president, because this one, regardless what happened. Now, everybody tells me that I've done enough, and I've established the fact that I'm a fair man, and the Negroes trust me. Well, I think that's pretty generally true, but I think if one or two things like this happened, I think they could say, well, I believe Weaver's qualified, and I think they just feel a little empty, even if they didn't feel hurt. They just wonder, well, I don't know.
Yes, I think so, but I also can see your, I mean, I can see
now, the only one that I have in mind, I have nobody, no one competitive. I don't want you to do that. I have no obligations. I came in, the Negroes all voted for me, the Jews all voted for me, and most of the Italians. All I have is just an obligation to America. Nobody got a commitment. Nobody, labor didn't ask me to give them a commitment on anything, and I didn't, and no one else did. So I just want to do what's right. I guess if I had two men that I, in 190 million this afternoon, I guess I would say Bob Weaver and perhaps Lawrence Rockefeller.
Well, I won't give you any quick answer, but I want to assure you that I understand your problem, and I've been thinking about it. I've been trying to understand how you have gone through this. I'm honest in this. And I've also tried to be honest in my evaluation of how I feel, how I think other people would feel, how I think the man himself would feel, and what you could do if you took this action and what you could do if you took the other action and how you could maintain it. If you want me to think about it, I'd like to think about it.
I sure do. I could make him ambassador. I could make him controller general. I could make him a lot of big places. My judgment is the only thing that's interesting at all to him is to be the first Negro in the cabinet in a field where he has worked hard now and where he's prepared himself.
Yes.
Contrasted with that, as the other side of the ball, I get somebody that can inspire the country, that can go in and
That's
sit
right.
before the McClellan committees
right.
and say, you've got to do this in these ghettos in New York and Chicago and these places. Now, I don't know. How well do you know Lawrence Rocknell?
I don't know him. I know John, his brother.
Well, David is a possibility. Nelson's a possibility. Lawrence is a possibility.
I know Nelson. I know David. I met David. I know Nelson and I know John. John?
They tell me, the people that know him, the people that you would know and trust, the progressive, fine people, Dean Rusk and folks like that, they tell me Lawrence is just the best of all of them.
Well,
he understands something about cities, about urban development.
Yes.
And the things he runs like Jackson Hole and things of that kind, they're very high class. And I have no idea whether he'd take it. Those are the only two names I think about. I wish you'd think of some others. McNamara, I got him to go out and make a talent search.
Yes.
And he came back with three people, but none of them impressed me in the slightest.
Lawrence is would be a 10 strike and would help in alleviating this other situation.
They tell me that the Rockefellers have done so much for 60 years for the Negroes that nobody could think that I had any race prejudice.
Absolutely not. And not only that, but Lawrence Rockefeller's installations, his Keneal Bay down here in Jackson Hole and his new British British Virgin Islands thing, they're all run high class and they're run for everybody. He made the distinction. Now, John had Mrs. Wilkins and me to dinner at his apartment in Beekman Place. He and Mrs. Rockefeller, a regular formal dinner with the managing editor of the New York Times, Robert Sarnoff of NBC and others there, a regular social evening. Their record of what they've done for Negroes through the General Education Board, through the Rockefeller Foundation, through Spelman College, and through medical research is something that's unassailable in the Negro world.
Think about it, and let me call, you call me Monday. What I better do is call you and save you spending all that money. Just let me call you Monday, and I'll probably be 9 or 10 o'clock here in Texas, which will be 11 or 12 your time, and you leave word at your office where I can reach you.
Very good, because
and you can't
I'd like
talk,
to be somewhere where we could talk. I don't want to be in my office.
All right, well,
I don't want to be
why don't you just call me collect at,
Mr. President,
say,
please let me do this.
11 o'clock.
Let me make this contribution to my country, please, sir.
11 o'clock your time.
About 9 or 10 o'clock your time?
It's not 11. If you called at 11 o'clock your time, that'd be 10 my time. That'd be just right.
Very good. 11 o'clock. On Monday.
They change an hour. I think we get back to an hour tomorrow.
That's right, we do. That's right.
Now, let me tell you my views on civil rights right quick for what it's worth, and then we'll talk further Monday. Just before the campaign, we had a lot of marching going on, and you all got together, and you and one or two others stopped it, and we won an election. Now, I think you're right at the point now where you need a decision of that type. I think our legislation has gone pretty far, but our performance, particularly the Negro performance, is not up to the legislation and the ideals. We made advances this year in the field of accommodations and civil rights and so forth that I never thought we could make, and particularly in the field of voters' rights. We almost had the number one city in the world to be led by Negroes, but the Negroes just went in all directions, and they changed 25 people on me, including good many Republicans. on home rule, and I lost that rattle, and I expect I've lost the war. I don't expect I'll get that one back, because I drove awfully hard, put in all my stack, and then I turned around, some of my troops had gone the other way. Now, I don't want to lose that on voting rights. You've got a chance to control Texas. You're not going to control it. Your people not doing one damn thing, either among the Negroes or the Mexicans or on registering voters. We cannot register them from Washington. We tried that 100 years ago, and we're trying it again now. And the only one can register them, the Negroes themselves. And if I were the head of the civil rights movement in this country and wanted to liberate the Negro and wanted to emancipate him, I'd just get him registered in the 10 states just as quick as I could if I had to go in and, by God, put on carnivals and have songs and have marches and have everything else until he got voted, because that's changed him. It's changed him in Atlanta with the Weltoners.
Yes.
It's changed him every place in the country. And it's in Memphis, and it changed them everywhere. Now, we're not doing that. We're talking about Vietnam, and we're talking about these juries turning them loose. Now, it's just absolutely terrible what the juries have done. We've got to do something. But I've got the best lawyers in the world working on that right now.
Right.
Anything can be done, I'm going to do it. Now, you can be sure of that. But I cannot go down here and make them register in San Antonio or in Dallas. The only man can do that, some Negro that comes down here and gets them worked up.
Yes, sir.
And gives them some leadership, gives them some pride, and you can...